Expressing your love can look many different ways, and with the right jewelry gift from Blue Nile, it can truly sparkle. Blue Nile's collection of classic diamond jewelry makes for the kind of gift that speaks volumes without saying a single word. Or switch things up with a sapphire piece sure to spark conversation. Either way, Blue Nile's diamond guarantee ensures you get the highest quality at the best price. Express yourself with Blue Nile, the original online jeweler, at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
You're listening to Luke's English Podcast. For more information, visit teacherluke.co.uk.
Hello, listeners. Welcome to this new episode of the podcast. And I'm trying something different in this one. This is a bit of a new experience for me. I'm recording this episode outside, and if you're watching the video version, you'll see that I am outside recording this on a sort of handheld camera, one of those action cameras. And I'm outside in the streets of Paris, where I live. Now, if you're just listening to the audio version, then this should work just fine, right? You don't need to be able to see everything. It should work as a normal audio episode. Hopefully the audio is going to be captured quite well. But yeah, I'm going to record this one outdoors. This episode is called, I think it's called Walk and Talk. And the idea is, right, that this is going to be a new sort of, a new style of episode, a new type of episode called Walk and Talk. I've done ones like this before, but with the just the audio version. I've never actually done this in video version. Okay, audio versions before have been, what have they been? Like, I did one where I walked around London. There was two episodes walking around London, and a couple walking around Paris, one walking around my district, going to the Laundrette, doing exciting things like that. So this is, I have to say, I feel like super awkward doing this because I'm in a very crowded place. I'm just in front of the Esplanade des Invalides. I think that's what it's called. I don't know if you can see this behind me, but there is the Invalides, which is like a military, used to be a military hospital. These days it's a, a sort of military museum, right? Over there on the other side, there's like the Grand Palais. Again, you can't, if you're just listening to the audio version, you can't see these things, but basically these are just some sort of Paris landmarks. But there's a lot of people around, and I'm standing here with a selfie stick in my hand, pointing a camera at myself, and I look like one of those annoying vloggers that you see in the street. And so, as a result, I feel totally stupid. I mean, I love the idea, right? I love the idea that I've come up with here, which is the sort of the video walk and talk. But I've got to say, doing this for the first time right now, I feel very, very self-conscious and very stupid and embarrassed. I feel very awkward because there's just loads of people wandering around, people looking at me, pointing a camera at myself. But one of the advantages of the camera that I've got is that I can actually take it and clip it to myself, right? So it's now attached. It's attached to me now, and I can actually just walk around. Now, that means it's kind of hands-free. It's just attached to my chest, so I can walk around, and this makes me feel far less self-conscious because, no one can see me just standing, pointing a camera in my own face. All right, now, I did actually plan something for this episode. Right, I said before that this is what I'm going to call a walk and talk episode, which should explain exactly what is involved. It basically means I'm going to walk around and talk to you as I'm doing it. Okay, basically, I walk around and talk about a particular subject, and this should include lots of vocabulary. Okay, that's the idea. And so I've actually prepared like loads of these topics with different questions. And while I'm perhaps walking home from work, which is what I'm doing now, while I'm walking home from work, I can just kind of ramble about the topic, answer the questions I've prepared, use loads of vocab, and it could just be a good way to develop new content. You'll find all the questions that I'm going to be responding to on the episode page on my website. You could even use those questions yourselves to do a bit of speaking practice. I'm actually looking at the questions on my phone, and what I can do, I suppose a little trick I can do if I feel too self-conscious, is if I can actually lift the phone up to my head and pretend I'm talking on the telephone, and that way people won't think I'm completely mad or something. Anyway, so what are the reasons, my reasons for doing an episode like this? Well, I'm doing this one, well, first of all, I live in Paris, okay, and it's such a beautiful city. It's a place that people want to visit. And so I thought, why not take advantage of that? Why not take advantage of the fact that I live in this amazing place? Right, I might as well use the environment that I'm in to create some content. Also, I was kind of inspired by GeoGuessr, not GeoGuessr, GeoWizard, who also kind of goes out and about. I mean, his missions are far more exciting than what I'm going to be doing. He tries to cross entire countries in a straight line and has adventures. I'm just going to be walking home. But anyway, I like the idea of getting out and doing something outside for a change. And also podcasting at home in my podcastle is very sedentary, right? Which means that I spend a lot of time sitting down. In fact, I spend the entire time sitting down in a chair. And fair enough, my room where I do my show is at the top of like over 100 steps. So I have to do all those steps several times a day. But I thought that this might encourage me to actually get out and do a bit more walking during the working week. Right, I don't know how often I'm going to do these episodes. I might be able to do them regularly because twice a week I work at the British Council. I teach English there, and I come home from work right at lunchtime. Sometimes I take the metro, sometimes I take a bike, but I can walk. It probably takes about half an hour to walk back to my district. And since the weather's getting better and better, you know, as we leave winter and move towards spring, I thought, why not do some walk and talk episodes? Plus, after I got to a million subscribers on YouTube, you know, I got to a million subscribers on YouTube, did I tell you? I actually treated myself to some new gear, some new equipment. So I actually bought myself this camera, and I also bought some wireless microphones that clip to my shirt, which allow me to do this without having to like carry loads of stuff around. So anyway, that's kind of an idea. That's sort of gives you an idea of why I decided to start doing this. Now, you might be thinking, you might be wondering, as ever, as you always probably do, about how you can actually use these episodes to help you with your English. Now, obviously, first and foremost, you can just listen to all of it. And the plan is, actually, for most of these episodes, is to talk about a different topic every time. So pick a topic, come up with a bunch of questions and some vocabulary, and just talk about that topic while I walk home. You'll probably be able to hear me breathing because I'm walking. I hope I don't breathe too loudly. Hopefully I'm not going like that. That would be that wouldn't be very good. But you're bound to hear me breathing sometimes. Depends how fast I walk. I usually walk pretty fast. Anyway, so yeah, there's always just the listening part. just listen, follow what I'm saying, which is always very good listening practice. You can try to notice vocabulary that I use while I'm talking about different subjects. By the way, the subject for this episode, this first one, is going to be Paris. I thought that I could talk about Paris, the city, maybe compare it to London, which is basically my hometown, kind of. So that's going to be the topic for this episode. So anyway, you can just listen, practice your listening skills, notice different vocab that comes up, and also the questions that I respond to, if indeed I have questions. As I said before, you can find them on the page for the episode on my website, and you can actually use those questions yourselves. You can try and answer those questions yourselves for speaking practice. Okay, and I'll try and make everything relevant, including to the people who are just listening. So if I'm talking about visual things, I'll describe those things, right? So that even if you can't see the video version, which you don't need to see, you'll still get an idea, because I'll paint the picture in words. So I'm currently standing right next to the Seine River. I'm currently on the left bank. I'm about to cross over onto the right bank, but I'm standing by the banks of the river, just opposite from the Grand Palais, which is like this big exhibition centre, covered in glass, beautiful building. Approaching the centre of Paris, I'm approaching the Place de la Concorde, the Tuileries Garden, the Louvre Museum. This gives you an idea of where I am. I'm next to the Assemblée Nationale, the National Assembly, which is where the French government is based. It's a bit like the Houses of Parliament in England. It's like the French version of that. That's an idea. I'm just walking along. There's a big main road next to me. There's a footpath that I'm on with loads of people, local people, tourists and stuff. There's a cycle path. It's actually very busy place, which is why I'm holding my mobile phone up to my head, my ear, to make it look like I'm talking to someone and not just recording a podcast. I'm wondering how I'm going to edit this stuff, right? I don't know if I'm going to do it all in one shot. I think I'll probably edit and break it up a bit. Now, what I think I'm going to do is walk along here next to the river for a while. The river is very high, by the way. The water level is really high today. I don't know why that is. I don't know if the river is tidal. Like in London, the River Thames is definitely tidal, which means that with the high tide, the high sea tide, the level of the river rises too. I don't know if that's the same story with the Seine in Paris. Maybe it's just because we've had a lot of rain recently, and as a result, there's a lot of water in the river, but the water level's very high and it's kind of a murky colour, a sort of a brownish, kind of murky, greenish brown colour almost. I guess this is the colour of the earth, you know, the silt in the riverbed. It gives it that colour, sort of a dirty colour. But I'm going to walk along here. I'm not going to go into the Place de la Concorde, the famous place with the big Egyptian obelisk in the middle and lots of fountains and stuff. That's the place where they have the parades on the 14th of July, where they do all these big military parades and stuff. It's a good tourist spot. I'm not going to go across this bridge. I'm going to keep going, and I'm going to cross over the footbridge into the Tuileries Garden, and I'll see if I can find a spot there where I can continue videoing myself. I wonder what this is like. I wonder what this episode is going to be like. I've got no idea. What are you going to think? What are you going to think about the things you can hear around you? What are you going to think about the things I'm saying? Right? What's your impression of Paris as a city? And does it sort of meet the reality of what it's like to actually live here? And for those people who are actually watching, I wonder what you think of the things you can see. Because of the camera I'm using, you might not be able to see landmarks in the distance and stuff. You might just see loads of people walking in front of me. I don't know. But it'll be interesting to review the footage. So here we go, I'm walking along. And let's see if I can talk about Paris, the city. Paris is hosting the Olympic Games this year. So this is a big year for Paris. And the eyes of the world will be on this city to an extent. And there are going to be loads of visitors coming here in the summer for the Olympics. I wonder how that's going to go. Parisians are maybe unsurprisingly not very enthusiastic about this. Whenever I talk to anyone from Paris, including my students in the classroom, my friends, and also audiences when I'm doing stand-up comedy, I say to them, so are you happy about the Olympics? And they're all like, no. No one seems to be happy that the Olympics is happening here. The main reasons being that it's going to be incredibly crowded, first of all. That's what I think most people are worried about, the crowds of people that will be here. And the city's already very crowded, which makes it sort of stressful and a bit difficult to live here. So there's that. Public transport is already completely packed. But also things like the price of the metro, the price of public transport is going to double. Like they're raising it by, is that 100%? It is, it's going to go up by 100%. They're doubling the price of metro tickets during the Olympics. So everyone's really annoyed by that. But you know, to be honest, it was the same story in London in 2012, and I was living in London at the time when we had the Olympics then, and a lot of Londoners were really unenthusiastic about the fact the Olympics was coming. Everyone was quite pessimistic about how it was going to affect life in the city. People were saying it's going to be a nightmare, it's going to be too crowded. People were a bit sort of cynical about the investment, you know, people suggesting that really the money wasn't going to go into the community, but the money or whatever kind of benefits you get from having the Olympics won't really trickle down to the people who really need it. And also when they built the Olympic village in the east of London, they moved a lot of people out of their communities in order to make way for this Olympic village. I mean, fair enough, they rehoused them and stuff, but people were arguing that this was a bit disrespectful to the communities who lived in those areas. So it's a similar story in Paris. Like, people are really a bit cynical and sceptical about the Olympics, and people aren't looking forward to it. But I wonder what will happen. Oh, by the way, video viewers, you get to see some funny, interesting people in interesting outfits. Paris is known as a fashion city, right? Well, sometimes in Paris it's fashion week. I don't know how many times a year this happens, but it's quite regularly. Every now and then it's fashion week, and you know it's fashion week because you see people in really funny clothes walking around like it's like you're in some sort of science fiction film or something like that. You get people in extraordinary kind of fashionable, it's not very fashionable, but like very creative clothing because they have just come from some fashion week event or something like that. And it's fashion week at the moment, so who knows, you might see some weird outfits. So anyway, yes, London Olympics. People weren't very keen on the idea. But then the opening ceremony happened, and the opening ceremony for the London Olympics was so good. It was so brilliant, do you remember? It was this incredible sort of story of the Industrial Revolution. It was kind of like the history of Britain performed in front of our eyes in the stadium with the Industrial Revolution and everything. And there was this incredible moment where the Olympic rings were sort of smelted out of liquid iron. And then they were brought through the sky and brought together, and sparks were flying. Absolutely incredible. And then we had The Queen arrived by helicopter with James Bond. She jumped out of the helicopter and parachuted into the stadium. Mr. Bean was there being quite funny, but really it was the theatrical stuff about the history of the country that was the most impressive. And I think that was so successful that people almost instantly decided that they loved the Olympics and it was wonderful. And it turned out to be a huge success, a massive success. It was like the best thing that's happened to Britain for years and years, and ever since then it's basically all been downhill since then, because like just a few years later we had Brexit and, you know, successive terrible Conservative prime ministers, and it's just been going from bad to worse. So the Olympic opening ceremony was like the last great thing, really. So I wonder what will happen here in Paris when the Olympic ceremony actually happens. And they're going to do it here on the river. Like, a lot of the opening stuff is going to happen on the river itself, which is going to be pretty interesting to see, right? Like, how are they going to do that? There's going to be like barges, boats, and all sorts of things. It's going to be fascinating to see that. You get a pretty good view from this pedestrian bridge. There are views on both sides, up and down the river. As I keep walking, there's a large building in front of me. That is the Louvre Museum, which I visited with my friends Amber and Paul on the podcast a few years ago. We did a little tour of the Louvre, taking in various works of art, including the Mona Lisa. Maybe we can go back there one day with a video camera. I don't know if you're allowed to video in there. Actually, we want to go to another place as well. There's like loads of museums and galleries here that we could visit. But I'm now walking towards the Tuileries Garden, which is like a long garden between the Concorde, Place de la Concorde, and the Louvre Museum. And as I walk past probable pickpockets and tourists on this bridge, but I'm going to walk into the Tuileries and see if I can find a good spot to perhaps sit down and then, without bringing too much attention to myself, I can point the camera back at my own face, just in case you wanted to see that, and I can continue talking about Paris. So let's do that. I was holding my phone to my ear again, just because I feel so self-conscious doing this. I don't know if that's going to get better, like if I'm going to get used to it. Hopefully I'll get used to this as I do it more and more, if indeed I choose to do it more and more. I'm going to walk up some steps. I can see a nice green chair and not very many people around. So this could be a good spot for me to sit and continue for a while. It's not the most picturesque spot, but it's not bad. I think I'll stop here. We come to this park quite a lot to let my daughter play in the park and run around and stuff. Okay, let's see if I can take this off and put it back into the camera. How are the battery levels? I've got to watch out for the battery levels on these things. So the when I pop the camera out and attach it to my shirt, I'm actually removing part of the camera. It's got a little battery inside it, that little part. And the battery doesn't last very long. It lasts for about 45 minutes, I think. Maybe even less, depending on what mode you're using to shoot with. Right, I've got the camera on the selfie stick now. There aren't that many people around, so I feel slightly less self-conscious doing this. I'm squinting because the sun is quite bright. Okay. So, what was I going to talk about? So Paris is one of the most visited cities in the world. I think it is, in fact, the most visited city in the world. And thousands of people, millions of people come here every year. And sometimes I wonder if it meets their expectations, right? In fact, it's quite a well-known fact that it often doesn't meet people's expectations. And in fact, there is even a thing called Paris syndrome. I don't know if you've ever heard of it. Have I talked about it on the podcast recently? I might have done. But Paris syndrome is a thing that affects tourists where they come and they actually experience an extreme form of culture shock. Okay, it's an extreme form of culture shock where the city is so different to what they expect that they kind of go into a weird, almost catatonic state. Now, they say that this affects certain people more than others. Like, for some reason, it affects Japanese tourists a bit more than it affects, like, tourists from other places. I don't know why Japanese tourists can be prone to experiencing this. Let's see if I can just read about it. I'm sure I talked about this on the podcast recently. Okay, this is actually from Wikipedia. So Paris syndrome is a cluster of psychiatric symptoms exhibited by some individuals when visiting Paris that can be viewed as a severe form of culture shock. The syndrome is characterized by symptoms such as acute delusional states. This is where someone is in such a bad psychological state that they're delusional. For example, I don't know what kind of delusions, maybe people, you know, imagining things that are not actually real. That's delusional states. Hallucinations, seeing things which are not actually there. Feelings of persecution, that means feeling like everyone's trying to get you. Like maybe perceptions of being the victim of prejudice, aggression or hostility from others. Anxiety and dizziness, sweating and even vomiting. It seems like such an extreme reaction to being here. While the syndrome has been particularly noted among Japanese tourists, perhaps due to the way in which Paris has been idealized in Japanese culture, the syndrome has also affected travelers from other countries such as China, South Korea, and Singapore, all Asian countries for some reason. So that's interesting, isn't it? I mean, I think the point is that the city is idealized by a lot of people, not just people in like those Asian countries, but I've noticed also in America and maybe in the UK as well to an extent. There's a certain expectation of what Paris is like, and I find that the expectation is not always connected to reality. Meanwhile, or in contrast, in London, there's a different expectation. And I was going to note that I feel like the expectation versus reality. I'm going to move. I feel like the people's expectation of life in Paris, let's say this, the reality of life in Paris is often slightly worse than people's expectation, whereas the reality of life in London is often slightly better than people expect. So let me try and explain that. I'll start with London. So people expect London to be rainy, cold, miserable, with bad food. Right, that's what people think it's going to be like. And in fact, the weather is more or less the same as it is in Paris. It's basically the same. In fact, I've read meteorological reports that say that Paris actually gets more millimeters of rainfall per year than London does. So in fact, there's more rain in Paris than there is in London, but for some reason everyone associates London with the rain and the bad weather, but in fact it's more or less the same as it is here. So people expect the weather to be terrible in London, and often it's not. You know, in spring, in summer, it can be absolutely fantastic and beautiful. In fact, I've often remarked that I think that when the weather is great, London is just one of the best cities in the world, because you can go to the parks, you can relax, there's everything. And also, the food is often much better than people expect it to be. There's just like so many different restaurants. Fair enough, like the food is from around the world. You've got restaurants from every country, but you can find all sorts of fantastic, excellent food to eat. Whereas you come to, people expect Paris to be, well, what do they expect? They think it's going to be springtime all the time. They think there are going to be flowers in window boxes everywhere, that people are going to be skipping down the street, kissing each other, and that it's all going to be lovely and romantic, like for example, that film Amelie, right? People expect the streets to be less crowded than they are. They expect the weather to be better than it is. They expect it all to be some sort of beautiful, romantic, dreamland. People think that the cafes are populated by philosophers who sit on the terraces drinking coffee and either writing romantic poetry or debating philosophy with each other. And in reality, what it's actually like is that the weather is like the same as it is in London, and it's very crowded. People can be quite unfriendly, I have to say. You know, I mean, not all the time, but you do. There's a certain kind of Parisian nonchalance, let's say, where people are a little bit self-involved. People don't really take care to, for example, get out of the way. Unlike in Tokyo, and I've lived in Japan people are very much aware of their personal space, the space of other people. People are very, very considerate. It's very normal to try and get out of people's way, to not impose yourself on other people in any way, and to be very respectful to everyone around you. There's a kind of collective consciousness in a sense, collective culture. Whereas in Paris, it's not really like that. People tend to just ignore each other, and you get the feeling that people walk around as if they own the place. I mean, really, I know I seem to often give a bad reputation to Paris, or I seem to like talk about it in negative terms, but really it's true. I mean, you know, I've lived here now for 12 years, so I really know what it's like. And, you know, most Parisians, most French people will agree with me. But having said that, it's a fantastic place, right? It's beautiful. There's all sorts of interesting things to see. There are beautiful buildings. There's a lot of culture. The food is fantastic. There's loads of things to do. I mean, just, you know, if I just take a walk now through this park, you'll see that it's a very pretty place indeed. If I can just work out how this bloody selfie stick works. I do feel like a total prat walking around with this, pointing it at my face. I feel like such an idiot. I mean, what do you think when you see someone with a camera, pointing the camera at their own face and talking? When I got this camera and I attached it to the selfie stick at home, I was trying to work out how it worked. My daughter saw me doing it and she was like, "Can I have a go?" And I gave it to her, right? She's 6 years old. I gave her the camera. And she immediately got it out and she started pretending. She was like, I've got a camera. She spoke in an American accent for some reason. I'm a vlogger, she was saying. So obviously there's a certain image that we have of people who go around pointing a camera at themselves, and I don't think it's very positive. That's why I suppose when I'm walking along, if there are people around, I can take the little camera out and stick it to my shirt and then carry on. In fact, I'm going to do that now because I'm about to walk down the steps into the rest of this park. So let's do that.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Get a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/work. Shopify.com/work.
When it comes to your finances, you think you've done it all. You've saved, you've researched, and you've invested all that you can. Now it's time to take those investments to the next level by using the brand behind every great investor, Yahoo Finance. As America's number one finance destination, Yahoo Finance has everything you need, whether you're a seasoned trader or just dipping your toes into the market. Join the millions of investors who trust Yahoo Finance to guide them on their financial journey. For comprehensive financial news and analysis, visit yahoofinance.com, the number one financial destination, yahoofinance.com.
Okay, let's walk. What else do I have to say about Paris? So, full disclosure, I should say that in preparation for these walk and talk episodes, I actually used ChatGPT to write some questions for me just to save time. So I asked ChatGPT something like this. I said, can you write a list of interesting discussion questions about the topic of, and then I just left a blank space and I can just insert a different topic each time. For example, about the topic of Paris, and include all relevant vocabulary in the questions. And of course it did that, and it wrote loads of questions for me on different topics. And as I said, since this topic is about Paris, here are some of the questions that it came up with. Now, I'm not sure that these are all easy questions to answer, because when you do this, ChatGPT tends to give you these sort of fairly complicated questions that don't always lead to a really, really easy discussion. You need to use a bit of imagination. But my approach to this sort of thing is just, I just read the question and think, if I can think of one thing to say, then that's good enough, and I'll just say that. And this, I think this is probably good advice for things like Cambridge exams as well. You know, when you've got a speaking interview and they ask you a discussion question, you don't have to come up with like the perfect answer to a question. You know, you can just I'm going to sit down here actually. You don't have to come up with the perfect answer to a question. Just find one half-decent thing that you can say and then just go with it, just roll with it, and just try and keep talking. Okay, so that's what I'm going to do with these. So, first question is, what comes to mind when you think of Paris, and what makes it such an iconic and beloved city, a beloved and iconic city? I think it's because of the associations that people have with it, right? The romantic stories, and also the films as well. What are some of the must-visit attractions in Paris? So obviously you've got the Eiffel Tower, which is this incredible sort of, is it Art Deco tower made of metal? And it's great to look at. I don't know if climbing up it is such a great idea, because it's kind of like a queue in the sky. So instead it's one of those situations where sometimes it's best to go somewhere else, and where you get a good view of the Eiffel Tower, like Trocadero, which is a little zone of Paris where you can actually see the Eiffel Tower, or the top of Montmartre, which is like a hill in the north of the city. You can climb up the steps to the top of the hill, and then you can get a good view of the city, including a view of the Eiffel Tower. And that's a good idea. And while you're up there, you can visit the Montmartre Comedy Club, and maybe you can see me doing stand-up comedy there on a Friday evening or something like that. You know what, I think I'm probably going to finish now. I think I'm going to walk through the park a little bit more, maybe just ramble a bit more, and then that might be the end of it, the end of this first walk and talk episode. I don't feel entirely comfortable, can you tell? So I think I'll walk a little bit more and then wrap this up. Okay? Okay, walking through the Tuileries. It's one of my favourite spots actually in Paris, because there's a bit of open space. Trees. I was going to say nature. I mean, there aren't really, it's not a lot in terms of animal life in the city. Crows, pigeons, sparrows, rats, mice. There are probably a few other things. Ducks in some of the parks, seagulls. There's not that much more. But still, it's a nice place to go for a little wander and to get away from the crowded streets and stuff. There are a few parks like this in the city. There's the Jardin de Luxembourg, the Butte Chaumont, and a few other places that are worth coming to as a way of escaping from the streets, basically. You can pick up a packed lunch and come here and eat it. If you've got kids, there are places where they can play, you know, slides and swings and things, trampolines. That's a good idea. So what I'm going to do now is, after leaving the park, I'm going to go and get myself some lunch, because I was teaching this morning and I am starving and famished. Teaching really makes me build up an appetite. And after a good solid morning of teaching, I want to feast on something. So I am hungry. All over the city there are, like, there's works happening. I mean, like, road works. And things are being built, and there's scaffolding and stuff everywhere. And this is all in preparation for the Olympics. The city is changing a little bit. They say that it's all going to be ready in time. I wonder. In France, there is a kind of stereotype that people are late quite a lot. It's not even a stereotype. In my experience, it's pretty true. People are often late. Things go behind schedule. I wonder how that's going to be with the Olympics. Is it all going to be ready in time? We will see. Maybe I should do another episode about the Olympics where we discuss all of this stuff. Who should I have as my guest? Obviously, I could have Amber and Paul. I might maybe invite Oliver G, the journalist who has a special interest in Paris. He does the Eiffel Tower podcast. I'm sure he's got all sorts of things to say about the Olympics. Maybe I could, maybe we can have someone else, like, you know, an actual French person. Fancy that. I'd invite my wife, but she's like one of those Parisians who's not very enthusiastic about it. There's a bit of politics involved as well, because the Olympics as a project is associated with the mayor of Paris. And she's criticised, of course, just like any politician. So there's a bit of politics involved in it all as well. Right, well, now I've left the park. My stomach is rumbling, and I'm going to try and find somewhere to eat my lunch. Okay, so I think that's going to be the end of this. I don't know how long I've been talking. It's probably been about half an hour. I'm walking through some crowded streets now, in front of some very classy shops. I'm approaching Place Vendôme, which is where you get all of the high-end brands. You know, what am I looking at? I mean, these brands, these shops here are so high level that I've never heard of them before. Jovoy, have you ever heard of that? Valmont. Looks like they do perfume. There's always a big queue of people here because they're queuing up for, I think, is it like hot chocolate or something? Or pastries? Cédric Grolet looks like he does pastries or cakes or something. You know, in France, you know when something is really good quality, when it just has the name of a man, right? Like the shop is called Frédéric Grolet. That's just the name of the shop, it's just a man's name. And there's loads of places like that, and loads of products where it's just some bloke's name. And if it's just some bloke's name, you know that it's really good. It doesn't tell you what it does. Like Frédéric Grolet, oh, he makes cakes. Okay, they're really good cakes. Or François Boulon, or whatever it is. And he's a hairdresser. You know, just like all these different establishments where it's just some person's name. Loads of those places here. But yeah, this is a very expensive, rich part of town. I don't know why. I don't know what's so great about these perfumes and these expensive shoes and all this stuff. I'm not so sure what's so great about it all. But apparently it's worth spending thousands and thousands of euros on it. But anyway, you can let me know. Let me know what you think about all of this. How's this episode been for you? What do you think of my idea of doing this? These walk and talk episodes, where I walk and talk about different subjects with a video. Shall I do videos every time? Do you think that I'll get less self-conscious? Will I get used to this? Will this get easier? Hey, you know what? I think I've got an idea, right? So look at this. Loads of bikes. I'm going to rent one of these bikes, and I'm going to find a way to attach the camera to the bike. No, you know what? I'll have the camera on my chest again, and we'll just go for a bit of a ride. How about that? Let's do that. Okay. This is how I'm going to end this episode. So just let me just rent this bike. I'm going to ride through some of the streets. This might be an interesting way to explore the city a bit. I'm not far from the Opera House and a few other interesting areas. You've got to be careful, of course, when you're riding in Paris, because drivers can be pretty crazy. Okay, this bike is ready to be ridden. Let's go, let's do this. Okay. All right, interesting this. Never done this before. No, I have podcasted on a bike before. I think the episode was called Rambling Through the Streets of Paris on a Bike with a very special guest. That's when Jerry Seinfeld was on the podcast. Yes, listeners. Jerry Seinfeld has been on this podcast, right? Yes, only the top level celebrities are guests on my show. But yeah, there was that episode. I don't bang on about that very much. I'm not always going on about the fact that I had one of the world's leading stand-up comedians, one of the highest paid comedians in the world, was a guest on this podcast. He wasn't technically a guest. I mean, I did sort of ask him a few questions. Look at that car. Isn't that cool? Look at that. It's like a vintage Volkswagen Beetle with white rimmed tires. Beautiful. Let's carry on. So I have podcasted on a bike before, but I've never done it with a camera. I wonder what this looks like. Now, if you are watching the video, now, because the camera is attached to my chest, you can't see my head turning left and right. As I said before, it's important to be safe when riding a bike. And so, mark my words, I'm looking left and right. I'm having a good look around me to make sure I know exactly what's going on. So if I, for example, cross over a street or drive past a junction and you think, oh, that looked a bit dangerous, don't worry, I've got my wits about me. I'm looking left and right. I'm paying attention. I'm doing my best anyway. Also, the camera that I'm using has got what they call a fisheye lens. That means that the picture is a bit distorted. And I think it makes some spaces look a bit more narrow than they actually are. I'm stopping here because of this red light. See, I'm a good cyclist. I'm obeying the code of the street. Is that the right phrase? No, the code of the street is like more something like if you're in a gang, isn't it? It's the code of the street, man. You don't snitch. No, I mean the highway code. That's what I'm talking about. The rules of the road, not the code of the street. So where am I going to go? I'm going to make my way towards Rue Saint-Anne, where I can hopefully get some nice Japanese or Korean food. And that's how I'm going to end this video. Maybe this is the route that I can always take when I do these walk and talk episodes. I'm starting to get more and more confident with this. I get the impression that no one really cares. I mean, I did say that, didn't I? I was saying that in Paris, people don't really care about other people. They probably don't pay too much attention. Although, having said that, sometimes you get the impression that people are judging each other. They judge each other's shoes and clothes and whatever. But anyway, if it's true that no one really cares, then I shouldn't really have anything to worry about, should I? So, this is Rue September, what is it? 14th of September? Is that the name? 4th of September, Rue du 4 Septembre. The road of the 4th of September, which must be an important date in French history. Although I don't know what the importance of that date is. French listeners, please feel free to educate me. Talking of French listeners educating me, on the podcast recently, I asked that question about why is it Châtelet-Léal and not Châtelet-Lézal? And I got lots of responses from French listeners who were keen to help me understand. It's basically that there are some words in with H at the beginning which are aspirated by the French, by French speakers speaking French, and some words with H at the start which are not aspirated. And if the H is not aspirated, it would just be Leal, right? If it was aspirated, I don't know, something to do with that. But the thing is, French speakers, hello. Those H words, which are aspirated, you still don't pronounce the H, right? For example, arbre, which is the word for tree, you don't say, and an arbre doesn't have an H. Oh, I'm confused. I'm still confused. But thank you for your responses anyway, even though I'm obviously still confused. Am I going the right way? Is this the right way? I don't know if this is the right way, but it's certainly picturesque. I think my camera's out of battery. I think I'm going to stop. Yeah, my camera ran out of battery, which is not a good sign, because that's my favourite mode of shooting, because it's like the most anonymous mode. But that's going to be the end of this, surely now. I'm still on my bike. Can I ride with this grip while gripping this? Sort of can. So I'm gripping it in my hand and holding the handlebars. Anyway, just to finish that point, French speakers, thank you for your instructions. I'll read your comments again and I'll understand it better, okay? Right, we're approaching the area where there are lots of nice places to eat. It's just around the corner from here. So, tell you what, I'm going to find a place to put the bike and then that'll be me, okay? So it's a good idea though, isn't it, to do this? I think if I can get used to it, if I can get better at doing this, I think this could be an interesting format for my podcasts, which I could do sometimes, right? I think so. So I'm just putting this bike here. Okay, listeners. Well, thanks for listening. Thanks for watching this slightly experimental episode. And nice one. Speak to you again soon. Leave your comments in the comment section. But for now, it's time to say goodbye. Bye. 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 Hello. This is not actually the end of the episode, as you can probably see if you looked at the running time. There's a lot more left in this episode in terms of time. I'm now back in my podcastle, where I am much more comfortable recording and talking without anyone looking at me, unless there are people working on the roof. And there aren't people working on the roof today, so I am feeling much more comfortable here in my room. It's actually the next day, and having reviewed the footage which you've just heard and seen, I just wanted to kind of reflect on that and give my thoughts on this experimental episode and just talk about how that went, and talk about how I might do more of these walk and talk episodes and whether I'll do more of them and all that stuff. Okay, so here are some of my thoughts basically after having done that, because this was a new type of episode, something I haven't really done before. Although actually, having said that, from the very beginning of this podcast, like the very first stuff I ever did with my old DV cassette video camera back in 2009, I did actually go outside and record video of people in the street interviewing people. That's not what I did this time, of course, because, you know, I live in Paris and everyone's French, so that's not necessarily a good idea for a learning English podcast. But yeah, back in the old days, when I lived in London, I used to take my camera out and do stuff outside. But anyway, so what was that like then? So having looked at the footage, I can say that I think it looks fantastic. I think the picture, the image quality is excellent. The camera, by the way, is an Insta 360 Go 3. That's the name of the camera. And it's an action camera which has a little video capsule. So the bit with the lens on it, right, it's a bit like a GoPro, okay? But where there's a little section where the lens is, and you can actually pull that out of the main body of the camera, and it's really small. It's like the size of your thumb. And you can take that out of the main body of the camera, and then you can, it's got a magnet on the back and you can attach it to different things. So if there's a metal, like a metal post, you can just stick it on the metal post and then that works as your kind of camera mount. And it comes with like a little pendant that you can wear around your neck. underneath your shirt, and that's magnetic, and you can stick it to that. So essentially, you can just like stick it to yourself. You can. There's lots of different clips and things. But when it's removed from the main body of the camera, when that little camera capsule is removed, the battery life is quite low. It's got something like about 40 to 45 minutes of battery life, which is what happened in this episode. The camera actually died at one point. So there's a section of the episode where there's no video footage at all. The audio was being captured by these little wireless microphones called Rode. What are they called? Rode Wireless Go 2. All right, you might have seen them. Lots of people are using them these days. Little things that you can clip to yourself. So, but anyway, I thought the video footage looked really good, like really good colours, very clear and very smooth image stabilisation, which is what you expect from an action camera. Image stabilization basically means that when you move the camera around, for example, if it's attached to my body and I turn or walk around, that the camera, the video image isn't very jerky. It doesn't jerk around. It's all very smooth. Like it's almost like it's done on one of those like boom camera mounts that they use in like action movies and stuff. So great video quality, and I'm very happy with that. In terms of the video stuff, if you were watching the video and you were thinking, right, we're going to have a tour of Paris, we're going to see all of the landmarks. I didn't really show many landmarks in the video, right, because I wanted to just kind of keep it natural and just show the places that I would typically go on my way home or just, you know, going for a walk into town to get lunch. So it wasn't really like the tourist highlights of Paris. That wasn't really the idea. But having said that, you did see the Eiffel Tower. The Eiffel Tower was visible very briefly right at the start of the video. You just kind of see it for a moment. I forgot to actually point it out, but it was there. There was also the Les Invalides, the museum. There was the Grand Palais, Assemblée Nationale, Concorde, although I didn't actually go into Place de la Concorde. The Louvre, you saw that for a moment. You saw the River Seine. You saw Les Tuileries, the garden. You saw a bit of Place Vendôme. So actually quite a lot of landmarks, really, but that's not really what the episode was all about. But maybe if I do this again, I can visit different parts of the city and show you different things. But again, it's not really about the visuals. I mean, the visuals are there as an accompaniment, but in the future, probably what these episodes will be, as I said before, will just be me rambling and rambling. So that means rambling around on foot and also rambling while talking about different topics with some interesting visual accompaniments. You know, you can just join me on a walk or a bike ride or something. I'm slightly concerned that referring to all of these visual things in these episodes will make this less satisfying to listen to as an audio-only episode, because I really want these episodes to work as audio episodes, of course. I'm worried that I don't know how that's going to feel if I'm talking about visual things. I'm going to try not to do that too much, because this should be an immersive audio experience too. And you can let me know, audio listeners, let me know what it was like. Did you hear sounds of the city around you? I think the audio sounds good enough. It's not quite as loud and rich as normal with my normal audio setup, right? It's not quite as clear as normal, but I think that's to be expected, isn't it? It's hard to get the microphone in exactly the right position. It sort of sits underneath my chin. It should be right in front of my mouth, but, you know, it's okay. There's quite a lot of background noise, but again, I think that adds to the experience, or at least I hope so. I'm not overly happy with the way that I look on camera. I don't think I should be very vain about this, right? I mean, I don't think anyone really cares. I probably just think about it a bit too much, or I'm worried about it a bit too much. But it would probably be the same for you, right? I mean, how would you feel sort of sticking a camera in your face? And often the angles that I had were not very flattering. You're kind of looking up from below my chin, or looking at different angles with the hair, the wind blowing my hair in weird ways. So I'm not that happy about the way I look, but I think I'm probably just going to get used to that, because I remember when I first started videoing myself for the podcast like this, that I used to feel very awkward about seeing myself on camera afterwards, and I didn't really like it, but I got used to it. So I'll probably get used to that as well. So I probably shouldn't really care about the way I look. I don't think anyone really cares that much, really. But I did feel really self-conscious when I was out there in the street walking around with this camera on a selfie stick pointing at my face, I felt really self-conscious, like I didn't feel comfortable. And it actually kind of, that's the one thing maybe that makes me seriously doubt if I can do this kind of thing regularly, because it really, it wasn't as pleasant as I'd hoped. I felt very self-conscious and awkward, and that kind of prevented me from relaxing and prevented me from getting into my normal flow of speaking. There were some moments which were okay, moments when I found little quiet spots in the park. But what I really want to do is walk around and let you see the city while I'm talking to you. And I want you to be able to see me talking to you and the city around me. But it's really, really hard to do that walking around with the selfie stick, and there's people walking around. I mean, you're just going to look like such a prat doing that. Maybe I'll get used to that. I'm probably overthinking all of this, right? I think it's probably fine. But anyway, I just wanted to share my thoughts with you just immediately after having looked at all the footage and put it together. I think putting the camera on my shirt is a really good thing. It means I can be completely hands-free and I can continue to record. And you get, it's really cool, especially the bits where I was on a bike. It just looks great. That's what this camera is designed for. But the battery runs out really quickly in that mode when I've just removed it from the main body of the camera. The battery runs out so fast. And also, you can't see my face. I suppose that's important. I don't know. Is it? Do you need to see my face while I'm talking to you? Some people say that they like that because they can see my mouth moving and they can see my expressions and stuff like that, which they say helps them. But, you know, I suppose I can mix it up. Sometimes I can just show you my point of view by sticking the camera to myself. And other times I can put the camera back into its housing and then use the selfie stick to talk to the camera directly. And that's if I've found a quiet spot, for example, on a park bench or something like that. My original plan for this episode, and the plan that I intend to use for other episodes like this, the original plan was to have loads of questions that I answer on a specific topic and then see what kind of topic vocabulary comes up in those questions and answers. And you heard me mention that I'd used ChatGPT to help me write the questions quickly. In fact, the other day I just sat down and I just banged out about 25 different sets of questions. I just came up with different topic ideas and I got ChatGPT to just print out just produce about 25 sets of questions. So there's one about Paris and there's just loads of other topics. I kind of got into a bit of a roll and found that it was really productive. So I asked ChatGPT to help me write the questions. The quality of the questions, though, is a little bit questionable. In this episode about Paris, I didn't really answer many questions from my list. There was a moment when I was sitting down in the park and I started looking through the questions. I tried to answer a couple of them, but they were actually weren't very fruitful questions. They were a bit dry and, you know, the typical of the sort of thing you get from ChatGPT. Unless you got very specific prompts, it will often come up with very dry and boring questions, which are actually quite difficult to answer. I can't remember any of them at the moment, but they're not exactly the sort of fun questions that make it easy to have a fun conversation. I tried, but then I found them to be a bit dry. In this episode about Paris, I didn't really answer many of those ChatGPT questions, but you can still find some questions about cities on the episode page for this episode on my website. After having sort of rambled a bit about Paris this morning, I wrote some questions. So these are questions that you'll find. I suppose these are questions that I answered, more or less. And these are questions that you could use to practice your speaking yourself, okay? You could look at these questions and just try to answer them yourselves. Now, these ones are mostly about Paris, but they're also could be about any city that you know well. So my questions are this, basically. Have you ever been to Paris? When did you come here? What did you do? And what did you think of the place? If you've never been to Paris, would you like to? And why? Thirdly, what associations do you have with Paris? What do you imagine when you think of this city? So what do you associate with this city? And do you think your associations match the reality of what the city is really like? Have you ever seen any TV series or films set in Paris? What image of the city do they present? And I'm thinking of things like, obviously, there's Emily in Paris, the Netflix series, which I've never really talked about. Maybe I can talk about that one day. But other things, there's Midnight in Paris, the Woody Allen film. What else? There's plenty. There's Disney films. That, is it Lady and the Tramp? Is that set in Paris? I think so. Ratatouille, of course. Taken. Who can forget the Liam Neeson film Taken? If you've ever seen me do stand-up, you might have heard me talking about these things. I've got jokes about all of this stuff. But anyway, have you ever seen any films or TV series set in Paris? And what kind of image of the city do they present? I talked about London as well. So have you ever been to London? Did it match your expectations? And now think of a city that you know well. It could be the city that you live in, or a city, the capital city of your country or something like that. Try to talk about it. Tell us about your city. Now, I say tell us about your city. Really, the idea with these questions is that you can just practice answering these questions yourself in your own time. Okay? And it's just good for speaking practice. As well as listening to this, noticing vocabulary, it's definitely a good idea to try and practice putting your ideas and thoughts into words and sort of trying to express yourself in the same way that I did in this episode. So think of a city that you know. What's it famous for? What can you see and do there? Does your city have a reputation? What is the reputation of your city? And does the reality of life in this city match the reputation? And finally, has your city ever hosted the Olympic Games? What did residents think about it before, during, and after the Games took place? Okay, so there are some questions for you. You'll find those on the episode page. In terms of vocabulary, the plan is actually to sweep through the episode again. I'm going to review all the things I said, and I'm going to create a vocabulary list, and I'll make a premium episode. It's kind of going through that vocab again, because there was actually quite a lot of vocabulary in this episode, including like stuff about Paris syndrome and the different symptoms of it, and loads of things actually that came up. So I will make a premium episode about all that vocabulary at some point. What else did I want to say? Yeah, so I think in future I'll need to review all of those ChatGPT questions on the other topics, because the ones it came up with about Paris were actually very dry and not that fruitful for sort of rambling, basically. I didn't fully answer the questions it gave me about Paris. You might have noticed that. But I think it's okay. I think I still discussed the city enough. I have to say, managing everything with the camera in my hand and being outside and stuff like that, it was a little bit difficult to prioritize the speaking part and expressing myself and talking, because I was multitasking with these other things. I was operating the camera, thinking about battery life, moving around, feeling self-conscious with people around me. When I'm in the pod room here, I can focus a lot more on what I'm saying, and that allows me to get into the flow a bit more. But when I was outside, it was a bit more difficult. But again, I think that's partly because it's a new experience. I'll try this again, and next time I will focus on a specific topic with questions and vocabulary, as I promised. Maybe I can sum up the vocab in a premium episode each time. Maybe that would be a good idea. So what do you think? What did you think of this as a sort of experimental episode? I'm particularly interested in hearing from audio lepsters. So audio listeners, how was it for you? Was it loud enough? Was it clear enough? Was there a lot of atmospheric noise? Was that a good thing, or was that distracting? Did it make it hard to hear, or did it add to the atmosphere of the episode? So let me know. And video viewers as well, of course, I'd like you to tell me what you thought of it too. What was it like sort of spending time with me outside? What did you think of the footage? So there you go. That was fun. And well, I think I will do more of those. I mean, I should do, considering I spent money on the camera and the microphone and stuff. I think it'll just take a bit of time for me to get used to it. But I think I will do that more often, especially when the day is, you know, when the weather's nice and there's a sunny day outside and stuff. I think it could be a really interesting new way to maybe breathe a bit of new life into the podcast. I won't do it every single time, but I think, I can try and do those. That's another option I have, another way of generating content. And like I said before, it's quite convenient that I work about 30 minutes away from my pod room, and I can maybe after teaching, I can just walk home or take a bike home and record something on the way. And I can even sort of reflect on the stuff that I was teaching in the lesson that morning. And if I've got a worksheet with like vocab on it or questions and stuff, I can actually take that with me and use that as the basis of my podcast episode. I've often wanted to do that because I find after I've taught a lesson, I often have a lot of ideas buzzing around in my head, and it feels like a very good moment to record an episode where I can kind of just capture a lot of the thoughts, ideas, conclusions, and language that came up in the lesson. I can just quickly kind of put it down in the form of an episode. I was actually planning a series of episodes like that, which would be called What I Taught, where I talk about what I taught that morning. But maybe I could incorporate that idea into this walk and talk concept. Another thing, I'm curious to get your suggestions as well in terms of topics. I can give you an overview of the topics I've got. What kind of topics have I got? Let me just give you a quick overview. I've got things like job interviews and job applications, learning English, of course, travel and holidays, living in the city versus living in the countryside, the future, studying at school and studying at university, shopping, the impact of social media, mental health, politics, films and cinema, prepositions, journalism, air travel, food, cooking, eating out, eating in, home, housework, furniture and interior design, clothes and fashion, stress and relaxation, relationships, dating and marriage, animals, babies, psychology, cars and driving, video games, artificial intelligence, books and reading, and more. The list goes on. But if you've got a topic that you think would be interesting for me to talk about and cover in an episode like this, then go ahead and suggest one. I've talked about most of those topics before in episodes of the podcast, but it could be interesting just to do sort of dedicated rambles on those subjects again, and then sort of sweep them for vocab. That could be an interesting idea. Okay, I think that's more or less the end of this episode. How long have I been talking here near the end? About 20 minutes. Okay. Maybe I can try and do something on the guitar. Let's see if I can do that. I've been playing the guitar again recently, messing around. What could I possibly do? I don't know if there are really any songs that relate to what I've been doing in this episode. I'm just looking through my list. I've got a list of songs I try to play sometimes. Okay, I'm going to try and do this one. I don't think it relates at all to what I've done in this episode, but that doesn't matter. It's not an episode. It's not a song about walking through a city. I think there is a reference to someone walking in the lyrics. This is probably going to get blocked again on YouTube because that always happens, doesn't it? That always happens whenever I do this. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. I think I'm supposed to put the capo there. Let's try this. Okay. There's one thing that I've realized I can do with this mixer that I've got here, where my microphone's connected to a mixer. I can actually add a little bit of reverb. Can you hear that? So I don't know how much reverb I should add. I mean, this is far too much, right? That's like I'm in a huge hall. But I think a bit of reverb on my voice can actually work really, really well. It's sort of like the karaoke effect. Because adding reverb to your voice allows you to cheat a little bit. It's a bit like when you sing in a large room with a big, tall ceiling, or when you sing in the bathroom, your voice echoes around and it sort of somehow manages to cover up for little mistakes that you make and makes your voice sound a lot better. So I'm going to try to do this. I might have to do it several times before I get it right. Yeah, you can hear that guitar, okay. I don't need to add another microphone. So this is a song by The Eels, who were an American group. They still are. I don't know if they're still going. Hold on a minute. You know what would be good? Would be if I could just move the camera so you can see me a bit better. See me playing the guitar a bit more. If I raise the height of my seat as well. Okay, right, you can actually see the guitar now. So Eels, yeah, an American group. They did really good songs. They're a very interesting band. And this one is a song about a guy who, well, he's clearly in love with a girl, and but he feels like he's not good enough for her, and he just feels, well, I'll let you work out the lyrics. I'll let you work it out just from listening to the words. But it's sort of a sad song, really, I suppose. It's hard to do it on this guitar. It's hard to do it on that guitar. Struggle with that guitar, struggle with it. It's the new one that I bought, but it's like shorter, and so the frets are smaller, and my fingers are too big. I'll try it with this. That I could be so bold to even say these thoughts aloud. I see you with your man, your eyes just shine while he stands tall and walking proud. The look you give that guy, I wanna see looking right at me. If I could be that guy instead of me, I'd never let you down. It always seems like you're going somewhere better than you've been before. When I go to sleep and I dream all night of you knocking on my door. The look you give that guy, I wanna see looking right at me. If I could be that guy instead of me, I'd be all I can be. I'd be all I can be. Nothing like what I'd like to be. I'm nothing much, I know it's true. I lack the style and the pedigree, and my chances are so few. The look you give that guy, I wanna see looking right at me. If I could be that guy instead of me, I'd give you all I got. I never thought that I could be so bold to even say these thoughts aloud. But if, let's say, it won't work out, you know where I can be found. The look you give that guy, I wanna see looking right at me. If I could be that guy instead of me, I'd never let you down. I'd never let you down. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So that song is called The Look You Give That Guy by Eels, E-E-L-S, Eels. Great song. Can you hear the reverb? It makes a difference, doesn't it? Doesn't it make my voice sound better? It's kind of a bit like cheating. It's a sort of a way of cheating, but that's fine. It's what you can, sort of thing you can do in a studio. That camera's not straight. Okay, anyway, that's the end of the episode. Thank you very much for watching. Thank you very much for listening. Let me know what you thought. And I'll speak to you again on the podcast soon. But for now, it's time to say goodbye. Bye, 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 bye.
Thanks for listening to Luke's English Podcast. For more information, visit teacherluke.co.uk. Small details are big surfaces. Tight corners are odd shapes. Flat, rounded, textured, or tall. Whatever your next project, there's a spray paint pattern that's just right, because Rust-Oleum's new Custom Spray 5-in-1 gives you control with 5 different spray patterns, so you can tackle nooks, crannies, edges, and curves without worrying about drips, runs, uneven coverage, or anything else. Custom Spray 5-in-1, only from Rust-Oleum.
If you enjoyed this episode of Luke's English Podcast, consider signing up for Luke's English Podcast Premium. You'll get regular premium episodes with stories, vocabulary, grammar, and pronunciation teaching from me, and the usual moments of humour and fun. Plus, with your subscription, you will be directly supporting my work and making this whole podcast project possible. For more information about Luke's English Podcast Premium, go to teacherluke.co.uk/premium info.